Sean Duke is here, the cool scientist from Science Spinning, the nominated Science Spinning for an award. Tell us more, Sean.
Well, thanks, Declan. You bet. No, the blog awards are getting, the Irish blog awards are getting quite big. I think there's thousands now that go in for us. So under education and science, it's been shortlisted, which is great. But there's a public vote. So now they have to, people will vote on the different ones. And that starts, I think, on the 7th of September. So anybody that likes Science Spinning, give us a vote, because it'll help maybe.
And you're not behind the door either.
Yeah, you're very easy on me compared to the politicians you have in here. So,
right, vote. Where do you vote?
I think you have to go onto the website. They haven't told us yet. It's Irish Blog Awards.
Okay, keep us informed. Yeah. All right. Sean Duke, Science Spinning, he's the man. Okay. Now, some of the science stories in the news this week. Text message. Well, is a text message more romantic than a phone call? There was a lot of people criticised for, say, breaking off the relationship by text. Why couldn't they just pick up the phone and chat? However, more romantic than a phone call.
Yeah, you would think now people do get criticised for texting, and it's not seen as being very romantic. It's maybe the coward's way out. And modern dating, I suppose, it's a lot about smartphones, your apps, that kind of thing. And text and email messages are considered, I suppose, by a lot of people to be just lazy, unromantic. But actually, scientists have come along, they've looked at this, and they've suggested that actually typing something, which is essentially what you're doing with your text and your email messaging, may be better than talking at expressing love. You know, a lot of guys certainly aren't very good at expressing love. But apparently, this is research from Indiana University and Sacramento in the US. They say that people that are sending romantic emails, they actually get more emotionally involved with what they're sending than those who, for example, leave a voicemail. Because you leave a voicemail and it's very quick to the point, and also you mightn't get your message across exactly the way you want to. It might, you might mess it up a little bit. But when you're sending an email, lots of people, myself included, I'm sure most of us do it, you'll check your email before you send it and say, now hang on a second, maybe I should say it this way or say it that way. So more thought goes into it, basically. And they think that one of the reasons that we do this is because you can't actually get across your vocal tone. So you can't, you know the other person can't hear your tone of voice, so you try and make up for that with what you're writing. So the extra processing that we're doing, the extra mental processing when we're writing with these texts, gets us to be more emotionally involved, and we get a more accurate, more romantic output, apparently, according to the scientists, rather than doing something in just one take. So, you know, and of course, texting can be very spur of the moment. I guess, you know, if you're angry or whatever, you can fly off a text and then you think, God, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And the way they measured this, by the way, just so to get the science in, that it is genuine science, they use skin sensors on the face to measure certain muscles that are associated with positive or negative, like you're laughing now, so the skin sensors would know that you're laughing.
Seeing who gets paid for all these things.
Yeah, and who do they experiment on? Well, it's always the same people. The professors experiment on the college students, 72 of them. There was actually, the one other interesting thing was there was no difference between men and women on this at all. So we're both the same. So the email isn't too bad. That it's maybe not as bad as its reputation in terms of romance.
Okay, I'm breaking it off. Yeah. Now, 50 is the new 42. It used to be 50 is the new 40, but it's gone up a bit, has it? To 42.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good news for people who are getting, you know, getting on a bit. And 50, well, this is down to technology, because essentially the thinking was that technology, in the early days of technology, and I'm talking computers and smart devices and all of that, was that, God, it's making us stupider. We're really getting very stupid. That Twitter is very silly and they're all very silly. But actually, that's swung now, and the pendulum now is saying that in order to manage all of this stuff, the Twitters and the Facebooks and all of the different things that you have to do during the day, if you're into that, that it requires more mental effort. So, of course, people now, older people, if you like, and if you're 50, you're now regarded as being, I think it's young elderly, age 50 and up. The brains of 50-year-olds are equivalent to in terms of their cognitive ability, the speed of thinking and all that kind of thing, as 42-year-olds were in previous generations. And this is down essentially to the use of computers, mobile phones, because in the old days, if you think of it, if you think of your granddad, I was thinking myself, what would he have done, you know, when he was retired? And I remember him doing the crossword and sitting there maybe reading the newspaper, and that was about it, and he was an educated man. But now, of course, you know, my dad, who's 76, he's on every different thing, and there'd be a lot of people like that, and that actually helps to keep your brain functioning, because you need lots of different skills. You need to remember lots of passwords so your memory keeps going. So think about it. You have to get into your work computer, open your email, use your internet banking. Everybody seems to do that now, older people too. Pay bills, social networks. Lots of people are in Facebook. You have to remember a lot of those things. And this one particular study that they did in Austria was fascinating, because there's different studies been done, but just the one in Austria, to look at that one for an example. They looked at people, all people, over 6 years. And they found that although their physical fitness decreased, which obviously it happens as you get older, physical fitness decreases, over the 6 years, you would expect their mental abilities to decline as well. But between 2006 and 2012, those 6 years, the cognitive test scores, right, people's mental sharpness, on average, increased. So people were getting older, but they were getting cleverer. So between those years, I suppose, 2006 and 2012, there was an explosion, really, on the use of internet and Facebook and Twitter, and all of those started to come online. So maybe this is giving our intelligence a boost. And also that, you know, older people are considered a bit behind the times when it comes to technology. But another survey, a quick survey, found, and I thought this was interesting, that 72% of people over 55, they know the basic terms like Wi-Fi, router, cursor, bandwidth, compared to just 61% of 16 to 24-year-olds, the cool 16 to 24-year-olds.
Really? Yes. So older people know more.
Well, I would interpret that is that older people, once they get into it, they want to understand it and, you know, what these things are. They want to know what is bandwidth, whereas the younger gang, maybe I'm being unfair, this is just a theory, they just use the technology. It's just there and they use it, and they're not too concerned about the terminology. This is all part of the Flynn effect. The Flynn effect is this interesting thing which says that IQ is increasing around the world. A lot of people wouldn't have heard of it, but they started looking at IQ from about 1930 onwards. This researcher, James Flynn, started it, and they're not sure why, but we've been getting higher IQ scores around the world year on year since 1930, but now they think it might be because the world is becoming more complex as we go along.
So your brain builds
your
with
brain,
more knowledge.
Yeah, and as the world becomes more complex, you have more things to do, to think about, and you have more stimulation and you're sharper, essentially.
All right. Okay, the cool scientist, Sean Duke from Science Spinning. It's been nominated in the Blog Awards, and he'll give you details on unashamedly canvassing for votes as the weeks go on. Sean is going to talk to us next about people who sleep less than 6 hours are four times more likely to catch a cold in just a second.
East Coast FM's Wicklow Diary.
In association with Casey's Centra Rathdrum, supporting your local community.
Hi, I'm Karen Carty, taking a look at what's happening around Wicklow. Runners are invited to run the Dublin City Marathon for Wicklow Hospice. For details, see wicklowhospice.ie or contact Bill Porter at avondalesports@aircom.net. The annual Lug na Cuile Challenge for Purple House Cancer Support is on this Sunday, the 6th of September, with two walking options starting at 10 a.m. and noon. For details, see purplehouse.ie. Bray Active Retirement Association Good Neighbour Morning is on this Friday, the 4th of September at 10:15 a.m. at the Little Flower Hall, Holy Redeemer Church in Bray. New members always welcome. The annual Leggett for Lakers Roundwood Reservoir Run is this Saturday at 10:30 a.m. Registration at Roundwood Parish Hall from 9 a.m. For details, see lakers.ie. And remember, if you'd like something mentioned on the Community Diary, you can contact Anne Kennedy on 01 27 24 700.
East Coast FM's Community Diary, in association with Casey's Centra Rathdrum, at the heart of their community.
In this week's Irish Farmers Journal, payment boost for farmers. Enhanced advance payment in response to income crisis. IFA to invest in FBD's future. Who paid the best milk price in July? Latest prices from weanling and breeding yo sales and a 12-page focus on getting stock healthy for the winter. And an Irish Country Living. Expanding the family business, how good planning eases stress, and why your car insurance quote is going up. The Irish Farmers Journal, online on the newsstands and now in a new app. Download for free today.
My Declan's got a job lined up with a big multinational company.
You don't say.
His book comes out next week, My Life in Quantum Physics.
Oh, that's not bad for a six-year-old, Mary.
And I got fresh lamb steaks for just €4 from Aldi.
€4? Oh, come on now, pull the other one.
For more unbelievable Super 6 offers like Irish lamb leg steaks 300 grams, Irish chicken fillets 500 grams, and Irish beef mince 800 grams, all for just €4 each, visit Aldi.
Next you'll be telling me your Declan's a brain surgeon.
Oh no, he tried that. Didn't like it.
What car brand has been delivering innovations and world firsts for over 125 years? What car brand has drawn on all this expertise to bring you quality cars packed with technology as standard? It's the same brand with more Irish Car of the Year awards than any other in the last 5 years. Thinking of a new car? Think Peugeot. Ask about the sensational offers at Newcastle Garage Wicklow.
Peugeot. Affordable quality.
Safe Pass training? Book now at aslsafety.com or call us on 0402-33505.
The Morning Show on East Coast FM with Declan Meehan.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Check out eastcoast.fm for more.
Cool scientist Sean Duke is here, and what about this story that came up during the week in science, Sean? People who sleep less than 6 hours are 4 times likely to catch a cold.
Yeah, it sounds like a trivial story, but actually it's an important one. Sleep is really, really important. And for example, it's only recently that sleep apnea, you know, this thing where people kind of have disrupted sleep, is now being taken seriously. And there's a sleep apnea lab, I think, in the Mater Hospital. And it's being taken seriously because there's all kinds of links with disrupted sleep and these very serious diseases that will give you long-term illness or shorten your life. So, you know, it is a serious thing. But in this latest study, this again is research from the US, and they looked at people who are getting 6 hours sleep. Seems to be the magic number, in the sense that if you're getting, you need 8. If you get 7, you're okay. You're not too bad. It puts you at slightly increased risk. 8 is perfect, obviously. 6 is a bit of a problem. If you're only getting 6 hours sleep or less, then you're into danger territory. And they designed this experiment. It was a pretty simple thing that they did, but it was clever. They took 164 volunteers. They looked at them for 2 months. They looked at their sleep patterns, their alcohol and cigarette use, their stress levels. All of that stuff was monitored. And then after that period of time, then they took all the volunteers off to a hotel, and then they gave the poor volunteers the cold virus via nasal drops, and they wanted to see how the people would react. You know, obviously, if your immune system is functioning well, you're going to fight the cold virus off. If it's not, you're going to get the cold. So then after they gave them the cold, they took samples from them to see who had got the cold from the virus, and they found that a very strong link between the people who got the cold and those who had slept 6 hours or less per night the week before. So the increased chance of getting a cold was 4.2, so more than 4 times more likely to catch a cold. Interestingly, you go below 6 hours sleep down to 5 hours, it's more or less the same. So 6 hours or below, that's the danger. And there's other research that's even a little bit more worrying. The British have done research, or Surrey University researchers have done research, which shows that people that get less than 6 hours sleep, there's even changes going on to their DNA, their genetic makeup. So really, sleep along with diet and exercise is absolutely critical to health, to good health. And if something is interfering with that, then you know you need to watch out, because it's associated with all kinds of illnesses that you need to watch out for. If you're having a problem, there are a few things you could do. which are recommended by the researchers. I can mention a couple if you want.
Yeah, go on.
Right, one of the easy ones, avoid devices. Now, this is something a lot of us do, is you have your iPhone, you love your device, it goes to bed with you. But the little blue light is causing problems for your brain. It's stimulating the brain. It's keeping the brain awake, okay? So you don't want to do that. Some people are worriers. If you're that type and you're thinking about tomorrow, what am I going to do? Make the list. Just look at the list and then you won't ruminate as much. Another interesting one I thought was the bed. The position of your bed apparently is important.
This is not feng shui thing and all that, is it?
Well, it's the threat that, you know, you want to face the door because people have evolved to...
Right, okay.
So that's another one. Alcohol. Some people take a little drink, small drink, and they think that puts me to sleep. It will put you to sleep all right, quicker, but actually it's going to probably disrupt your dreaming. It might cause you to wake up during the night, so for that reason it's not good. Have a routine, maybe something that you do every single night. This is like with kids when you're putting them to bed. And try those things, and then if that doesn't work, you may have something like a sleep apnea, and that can be easily checked out. And in fact, you can even check out your own sleep apnea with an app, and it's very funny. I haven't done it. A friend of mine did it, and essentially you turn it on and it records you at night, and it listens to your snoring and your breathing, and it tells you if you've what level of a problem you've got and whether you should go and get it checked out.
Yeah, but that involves having the blue light. I wasn't allowed bringing a device in a minute ago. No, I have to have one.
That's right, actually. Yeah, you caught me out there. Because you're bringing in the blue light. All right, so yeah. So maybe that's not such a good idea. But anyway, watch out for the lack of sleep. It is a serious thing.
It's essential. And actually, there was something on one of the previous stories I saw at the bottom that a 25-minute walk every day adds 7 years to your life.
That's right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It doesn't accumulate now. You're still getting the same 7 years. By doing the 25s, it doesn't mean every day.
The trick
25.
Is every day, I think.
Yeah.
You know.
Anyway, there is one more story here, and this is to do with body mass index that you were talking about last week. Body mass index predicts how soon Alzheimer's will develop.
Yeah.
That sounds like it's a given that it's going to develop.
Well, body mass index is this thing that we mentioned, just if people didn't hear last week, most of us know what it is now, but it's just your height, basically. It's a measure when you go in and you step on the scales in the GP and they measure your weight and your height and they do a calculation, they come up with a number, and based on that you have a body mass index. The ideal one is between 18.5 and 24.9, and it's very easy to get into the overweight. But in any case, people might say to themselves, what's the problem with being a little bit overweight? Is this a real problem? Well, actually, once you get into middle age, it's getting quite serious, because what happens is there's now been a very strong link found between people that are overweight, even not obese now, but even overweight, and the earlier onset of dementia and Alzheimer's, which nobody wants, of course. And a big study of 1,300 people looked at people aged over 50 for an average of 14 years. So you have to take that seriously, because it's over a long period of time. And they test them every 2 years and looked at their weight and, again, their cognitive ability, their mental sharpness. And what they found was that there was a much higher risk of developing. The actual finding was that one single BMI point speeds up the onset of dementia by 6.7 months. So that if you are seriously obese, for example, which there are a lot of people in Ireland now seriously obese, you could develop Alzheimer's a decade before you would otherwise develop it. So, you know, it's really, you have to watch out for it. And also, these are things that can sneak up on you, because the symptoms of Alzheimer's or the symptoms of dementia, by the time the symptoms actually show, the disease has been there a long time. So as a preventative measure, you need to keep your weight under control, because we certainly want to live longer, but we also want to live healthier, and we want our faculties. And those things are tied in with weight. So again, weight, it's critical. And the level of problem in Ireland is phenomenal, because if you look at the statistics, they're frightening. 50% of the adult population is overweight or obese in Ireland. So you're talking about 1.5 million people out there that have to kind of watch their weight, and if they don't watch their weight, they're putting themselves at risk of heart disease. We knew about that, but also this neurodegenerative decline could be a risk factor for it too. So watch out for that. And then just while we're on the same topic, salt. Watch out for salt. Apparently you have to watch out for everything. But salt, British researchers have found a link with obesity, regardless of the amount of calories consumed. So if you're not even eating very much, if you're just putting quite a lot of salt on small portions of food, that is also something that you have to watch out for in terms of your health, your dementia, etc.
Right, you've put us through the mill this morning.
I did.
Thanks very much indeed, Sean. Sean Duke, the cool scientist. We've talked about weight. Get that down. Ease up on the salt. Get your exercise 25 minutes a day. Make sure you get over 6 hours sleep. And keep going with the technology because, you know, it helps your brain.
And you're not even allowed to have a drink before bed.
So there you go. That's it. We are going to pick ourselves up off the ground for the next hour. But in the meantime, Sean Duke, Science Spinning. And that's where you can find out all the science stories.
That's right. And they're not all as miserable as that. Thanks, Declan.
Okay, SeanDuke.com.